Welcome to the podcast of William Patterson University's chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists, or WPSPJ, where voices from the news industry guide us and inspire our future. On this podcast, we'll spotlight the activities of the nationally recognized Society of Professional Journalists chapter at William Patterson University in Wayne, New Jersey. We are the reporters of today and tomorrow, committed to SPJ's mission of diversity and democracy, and inspiring successive generations of talented individuals to become dedicated journalists.
Hello, everyone. My name is Robert Cardillo, and welcome to the WPSPJ podcast. I'm a journalism student at William Patterson, and I've played a role in many of the episodes that you've heard on the podcast as both a host and an editor. In this episode, we'll be listening to some sound bites from an in-class discussion with Lisa Napoli, who is not only a former correspondent at MSNBC, but also was one of the first reporters to cover the rise of the internet in the late 1990s while she worked for the New York Times. In this discussion, students were able to ask Lisa some questions about her career that will hopefully help them with their own journeys in media. We hope that through this podcast, her insight can help some of you in your own careers. To start off, let's listen to Lisa's story about how she got into media.
I've had a really interesting background. I was the first person in my family to go to college. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and I always knew I wanted to be a journalist. And at the time that I went to journalism, to college, I didn't really understand anything really. I had come from no connections in the industry. I was a voracious reader of newspapers. Cable television news started the year I went to college, 1980. So that wasn't something you could aspire to do because it barely existed yet. So it was just, it's been an interesting ride for me because in the whole course of my career, everything about the media landscape has radically changed, which all of you can probably say about your lifetimes too. The big game changer being the iPhone, which is now a TV studio and publishing tool, and you can do everything on it. But that was beyond the scope of anybody's imagination when I went to school, and certainly when I started working. And watching all this disruption each year or two or five, it has been really fascinating too. And I've watched a lot of people come into the industry at various points and then get out because it's hard. It's punishing. You know, sometimes you have to work holidays and overnights or move to a place that's nowhere near your family. And so that's a great sort of equalizer because it pushes people out and it pulls people in, and some people stick with it and some people don't.
I can kind of relate to Lisa's story when it comes to being the first person in her family to go to college. Like her, I've kind of had to build my connections in media from scratch. My beat is mixed martial arts, and I started a podcast that covers the sport called The Hurt Handbook. And without putting in some of that time on the podcast, I probably would have never gotten the opportunities that I was able to take advantage of if I really hadn't tried in the first place. To piggyback off my own example, interviewing the best fighters in the world was something that I always wanted to do, but kind of like Lisa was talking about, I didn't really have like a set path to do it. But now that I've kind of like done some of the things that I've set out to do because of just self-belief and work ethic and really just trying to do it, I think that really is something that a lot of students can take, especially if they don't really have a set path to get into the industry. I mean, Lisa Napoli kind of talked about how she constantly read newspapers and really just kind of took a shot in this industry with no connections or no really true insight prior to her education. She also talked about some of the changes in the media industry. With so many different jobs out there, people may not know exactly what they want to do right off the bat. And that's totally okay because it's actually becoming a trend for Gen Z to move from job to job throughout their careers. According to Business Insider, almost two-thirds of Gen Z workers have plans to switch occupations within 2 years. In media, the amount of different things that you can do in the field kind of provides workers with a bunch of different options, whether it be in print or digital media. As I said in the intro, Lisa Napoli has worked for multiple companies reporting in many different ways, so one student decided to ask her what it's like transitioning from one form of media to another.
It's so interesting for me to hear that they even segregate out media in school today, because I would think that they'd want to equip everybody to be able to go across different media, because, you know, the joke, of course, is if you went to the work at the New York Times right now, you might be a videographer or an audio person, not just a, you know, good old fashioned print person. And there is no such thing anymore. And at NPR, there are actually photographers and videographers too in that medium. So I've just always, maybe it's because I can't make a decision, but I've always liked the idea of telling stories in different media and how, you know, some people are completely wedded to being a videographer or completely wedded to audio or radio storytelling as it used to be. But for some reason, it was all very fascinating to me. And when I started my career at CNN in 1984, I was an intern at CNN. And, you know, the lowest of the low, which is what interns do, working in that newsroom. And just because that's where I started, that's what I ended up doing for a number of years. I worked there, and then I worked in local television news where I line produced the 11 p.m. newscast in Greensboro, North Carolina. Then I got promoted to the 6 p.m. newscast. What I really wanted to be was a print journalist, but I couldn't find my way in. So I was constantly freelancing for local publications to get the experience of writing feature stories. And it was only after a number of years, I have to think about exactly how long it was, that I got the chance to go work at a digital part of the New York Times. So I didn't even really work in print at that point. It was 1997. So it was 17 years into my career that I was working, writing daily journalism. But it's still, and it, some of it made its way into print, but just by the nature of where the web was in 1997 and where the New York Times was with the web, I worked technically for a digital side. We didn't even call it that then, the web side, but I also had some experience with writing for the print side. So, you know, I love the different ways of slicing and dicing a story. And, I think that now it's exciting because, and also probably daunting, that there are so many demands made on reporters or people in all the other parts of the profession to move quickly, number one, and also work across different platforms. I mean, for instance, when I, in 1992, I covered the Clinton campaign. I was a field producer for what was called at the time Fox News Service. It was long before Fox News Channel. And it was really literally just a news service collecting video from different events and feeding it out to the affiliates across the country that were owned and operated by the Fox television network. And basically my job as a field producer was to run around with the reporter and the cameraman and audio man, four of us, running all over wherever candidate Clinton went. It was very exciting. It was very exhausting. It was exhilarating. It was kooky because you didn't know, you know, you knew where you were going next. You never knew what was going to happen. But basically my job there was not very, right brain, left brain. Basically, I was taking videotape because that's what there was then and handing it off to some courier in some, you know, Knoxville, Tennessee to make sure that it got somewhere. So it wasn't really constructing the news. It was the behind the scenes of the news, which is super essential. But it convinced me that that was super not what I wanted to do and that politics, covering politics, that was a very exciting experience, but I had zero desire to do that again. So with every experience, I learned what I did and didn't want to do a little bit better. Sort of, I always say, like, work is like dating and dating is like work. Like, you go out with enough people, you learn what you don't want, or hopefully you do. It's the same thing with work. With each experience I was placed in, I learned so much and I was so grateful to have that chance, but I knew it wasn't right for me. Whereas some other people might know right out of the gate that they have to go work for NPR or some public radio affiliate and tell stories in that medium. And that's all they want to do. I've always been a bit more freeform.
Hearing Lisa Napoli talk about her own experiences leading her to figure out what exactly she wanted to do in media was very interesting. Students might be nervous to take leaps of faith from one job to the next, but trust your instincts and your passions. Think about that stat that I mentioned earlier from Business Insider. It's not very uncommon for people to switch lanes in the middle of their careers. Lisa Napoli was one example of someone who was able to find success at multiple organizations. That took some trial and error, as she pointed out. One student actually asked Lisa about when it's the right time to move on from a job in media. Here's what she had to say.
You'll meet people who go to a company. I had a cousin, he's about my age, who went to work for the New York City Department of Sanitation, and he rode it out until he retired early with a great pension and working really hard. I mean, he literally worked his way through the system. And then, you know, and I have a good friend who's worked at the same local television station that I worked at years ago for 35 years now. And then there's me, and I haven't left for the reason of not feeling the love. And also in my generation, that was less the case. You know, you were less able to be demanding about it. I mean, of course, you didn't want to be taken advantage of. But in my case, it was really just a product of imagination. And that was, you know, I worked, there's been periods that I don't even know if I have on my resume anymore, where I did tons of freelance work for all kinds of startups, all of which went out of business. Like, there was a series of time where every single place I worked, and none of it was staff work, but it might have been like what we would today call permalance work. Every single one of those experiments, most of them were news experiments, literally blew up at some point. And so that's interesting too. I mean, it's extremely disorienting and unsettling, but it's also very different than when you have a friend who's had the same job or the same workplace for 30 years. You sort of get used to it in a way, and not that it's ever easy to not know where your next money is coming from. So my experience really has been more that, you know, I knew I couldn't stay at CNN. I could have stayed at CNN. I could have worked up the ladder in Atlanta from the lowest person on the totem pole, which is what everybody at that time entered that system as, you know, to be a supervising producer, or, you know, like I say, some people I knew who worked there stayed their careers. But I just knew that I had this feeling that broadcasting wasn't right for me. But yet it was also interesting, and it was what I knew. And so I kept getting sort of peripheral associated jobs in it. Like once I worked for a place called Medical News Network. Today, it sounds preposterous because you can look up everything online about anything. But the idea then was that when you were at the doctor, and this is before screens were ubiquitous, when you were at the doctor, Medical News Network would have a special satellite hookup with doctors' offices around the country and pump in medical news that was made for the layperson, not for the doctor. And it was a really inventive, innovative thing that would have quickly gone obsolete if it hadn't run out of money and shut down. But that was a fascinating experience that might have tilted me in the direction of going into corporate communications for a pharmaceutical company or for a hospital, which are great jobs, amazing jobs, very important jobs. They could have tilted me in the direction of becoming a science writer. But that's not what happened. I don't even remember what happened directly after all of that. I went to work for one of the first home shopping networks, which was literally on cable television, before the internet, before there were 50 million home shopping, everything everywhere. And that was definitely not something I wanted to stick around with, but it was utterly fascinating. And I have many friends from that period of time. For some reason, we all bonded together in a particular way there because it was just so bonkers to be selling stuff on TV and to find inventive ways to do it. So for me, like I say, it's a function of, you know, when I went to work, at the New York Times, at a certain point, they were going to disintegrate the part of the New York Times that I worked for and integrate it into the paper. Initially, it was literally down the street, completely separate. Even our paychecks came from a separate company within the Times. And that, you know, that just sort of fell apart. And the Times didn't have the mandate that it has now, which is to bring people in from outside into different positions. And since I hadn't come up inside the Times system, I knew the writing was on the wall. So when someone offered me a job at MSNBC, and it was hybrid, my job at MSNBC was actually working online and on television, it seemed like an interesting opportunity. So each thing really just, there's been nothing systematic or strategic. It's all been accidental, and it's been interesting, and I've been fortunate that it's been interesting, but it does make me look like a bit of a mongrel because I sort of
Lisa Napoli's talking points were really beneficial for me to hear as a journalism student and for that entire class to hear. To summarize what we've learned, Lisa Napoli is living proof that you can truly pave your own way in media. Just work hard and know your value along with what you're passionate about. We hope this discussion gave you all some professional insight on building a career in journalism, and if you keep listening to the WPSBJ podcast, there'll be more where that came from. Thank you for listening, and be sure to rate the show if you enjoyed this episode.
Thanks for listening to the WPSPJ podcast. We'd love to hear from you on Instagram and Twitter at WPSPJ. Be sure to subscribe and rate our podcast on Apple. Until next time, we are SPJ.